If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1,000,000%. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Hello and welcome to the Over and Back Classic NBA Podcast. I am Jason and with me as always is Rich. Hello, Rich.
Hello.
How are things going?
Things are going okay. Yeah, it's been a while since we've done a show and a lot has changed in my life and that's all right. Yeah, things are going well. Things are going well.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of big changes, of course, going on. And one big change is we have a new non-Wilt scoring leader in an NBA game. And it's, looking at here, Bam Adebayo. Wait, no, he doesn't score a lot of points.
It was somebody else. It was somebody from the Miami Heat. Tyler Hero, I believe, was the one that did it. Yeah, because he can hit a lot of three-pointers, so it's, I imagine, to get to 83.
Was it Andrew Wiggins? No, Andrew Wiggins, maybe?
So I'm looking online. It also says Bam here as well. So,
weird.
But again, there's so much. I mean, you can't really believe anything on the internet anymore.
No, especially not. Yeah, right.
I don't know. Who could say? I mean, it's impossible to know one way or another if this actually truly happened. Because I'm looking at a couple different sources here. It appears that it was indeed Miami Heat center Bam Adebayo that scored 83 points.
Well, let's just go with that, I guess. We've checked our sources. All right, sounds good. Yeah. So weird, right?
Yeah, what the hell? I remember you said you were the one that let me know that it was on the pace of happening. I forget. I was just doing something or whatever, and I get a text from you, and you're like, Bam might have 80. And I'm like, what?
Right. Yeah.
I looked, and I'm like, what?
Right.
I'm like, which Bam? Like, Bam, like the Bam that plays in the NBA?
Bam,
or like,
right, yes, yes. Of so many Bams. Like, Bam Bam, you know, the, Fred Flintstone's
Yeah,
style,
right,
maybe?
Right. Like, were you watching, like, a YouTube video and some guy on, like, a 2K?
Sure.
Like, maybe you got heavy into 2K recently and I didn't even know.
Yeah,
and you're, like, trying to text one of your fellow 2K buddies and be like, hey, Bam, a guy that plays as Bam, he's almost got 80. And it was in the NBA game on March 10th, 2026, against the Wizards, which...
A real NBA team, right?
What?
Yeah.
Well, hold on.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, more real than like the Charlotte Bobcats, for instance.
So certainly. Yeah. Yeah. Like an actual, like the Washington Wizards are an actual NBA franchise. Although I would like to believe that we were so close to the Wizards being a thing for like a couple years and then everybody revolting and being like, go back to the Bullets. Like, don't call them the Wizards anymore.
Yeah. Right.
And then we could also do the same Bobcats thing we do with the Wizards and be like, can you believe? And then there's like a couple images of Juwan Howard wearing a Wizards jersey or whatever. We're like, no way, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And you can't believe anything these days. So, exactly. Yeah. That's the problem. Yeah.
So, but at this point, there's children that only know the Wizards and that kind of pains me a little bit. Not even children, grown ass adults that only know the Wizards.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 30 years now since the switch.
I'm old, so it's been a while.
We are, you know, I was an old person when we started this podcast, and now you've become an old person,
I have,
you know, during
there,
the time we've had this podcast. I'm like elderly. I'm like aged, decrepit even. So
that's why we have to do this, because every day it's like we don't know with you, because you're really getting close to the point.
Right.
Where it's
it's
now or never if we're going to do
a review. I could go any day. Yeah. So. Yeah, exactly. So
to be fair, we all could.
I mean, fair. Yes. That's a true thought as we get into this. Or anybody can score 80 points in the NBA at any given day, apparently. Now we've learned this.
Yeah.
So, yes. So Right. Yeah. So only the obviously behind Will Chamberlain's 100-point game in 1962, passing Kobe Bryant's 81-point game from 2006, 20 years ago, by the way, another way to make us feel old. He played 42 minutes, took 43 shots, making 20, attempted 22 threes, making 7, and attempting 43 free throws, making 36. Not even close to the most minutes played in the game with 60 points. I wonder what the least amount of minutes is. If we check that, that'd be interesting.
I don't know if we did. Maybe let's do an on-air stat head. Yeah, that'd be kind of funny if it's like, this is the most unethical thing ever. And then he's like, the lowest amount of minutes or whatever.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure Kobe did it in three quarters one time. And Clay may have done it in three quarters one time. So maybe we have less than that. But, most 60-point games, I would imagine you're playing more than 42 minutes. But how about I talk to the other numbers while you look that up?
Yes, I am way ahead of you. I'm already working on it. So, yeah, go ahead.
Very good. So 19th fewest field goals made in a 60-plus point game, 29th in field goals attempted. Steph Curry shot 23 threes in his 60-point game. So Bam tied Damian Lillard for second with 22. Kobe shot 21 threes in the final game of his career, which, of course, famously reached 60, which is 10 years old now. Bam's 43 free throws are the most ever in any game, most attempted, most made ever. His 43 was 9 more than Will Chamberlain's highest, 34, which is a game in which Will only scored 61. So, and you're probably wondering this, Will scored, he was 28 from 32, a rare, very good game from the stripe in his 100-point game, helped him get there, of course. NBA free throw records, as we mentioned, he set the single game record for both free throws made and attempt. So the previous attempts record was 39, which was held by Dwight Howard, and the makes record of 28 was held by both Wilt Chamberlain and Adrian Dantling. And yes, he's also the first player in NBA history to score 70-plus points in a game while shooting below 50% from the field. As we mentioned, 20 of 43 on field goals, which is 46.5%. Did you find that number?
I did, yes. So indeed, Bam is 32nd in terms of minutes played. He had 42 minutes played. You were correct. Klay Thompson, I still can't believe this game. 29 minutes, 60 points. I mean, wow. I don't think we talk enough about that game. That game is insane. 29 right. minutes and he had 60 points.
Yeah.
Like that, you know what? You know who should have been unethical that day? Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors.
Kerr should have been unethical,
he could have had like, he had 29 minutes and he had 60 points.
He could have had 90, maybe.
Yeah, for sure. Right. James Harden had 31 points in his 60 point game. Karl Malone. Karl Malone in his 33 minutes. We're going to talk about his a little bit later, too, because this was a big-time blowout, which definitely makes sense a little bit more than he only played 33 minutes, because that was one where I circled, and we'll talk about it later. And I was like, Carl, what are you doing, man? You're beating this team by like 55 points. But it turns out he was out of the game already. He was the 1990 Milwaukee Bucks that he did that against. And then Kobe Bryant in 33 minutes got 62 against the Mavericks. And then finally, I'll round out the top five. George Gervin also 33 minutes in a 63-point game. Back in 1978. So, yeah. Bam was in the 40s, which is where most people are in the 40s. We don't have for three guys. We don't have two Elgin Baylor ones. We don't have and Joel Fulks. We don't have theirs. But Elgin Baylor was a 3 overtime game, so I imagine he probably played a pretty significant amount of minutes. And the most ever is Wilt Chamberlain, a 3 overtime game. He had 78 in a 3 overtime game against the Lakers in 81.
Yes. Yep, and that was the same game. He and
61, not 81.
Yeah, he and Baylor both were in that. Yep. That was the same game. Yeah. So. Yes. So other.
Real numbers. Quick, not to interrupt, but you did. You had a great note at the beginning of the notes we have here on March 10, 2026 at the Kaseya Center. And you said parentheses, I don't even know what they do, sell or are. And I have zero idea. If you put a gun to my head and say, tell me what industry Kaseya is in. Boom. I'm done.
I
couldn't tell you. Is it insurance? Is it AI? Is it a leftover crypto sponsorship? I don't know. And frankly, Jason, I don't care. And I don't want to know.
I couldn't Kaseya. Absolutely. Yeah. outscoring entire teams. There have been 11 games in the 25-26 season where an entire team failed to score 83 points. In the first quarter alone, Bam scored 31 points, which outscored the entire Wizards team, who had 29 during that first period.
Do you find it hard to believe that there's been 11 games this year where a team failed to score 83 points? Like, I just feel like in this current NBA, it's like, holy crap, those are really... It's you know, there's like, you know, 1999, there's a couple of those like 60 point games. You look at the box score and you're like, oh man, that's pretty bad. I would say if you get less than 83 in 2026, I mean, that has to be like, I mean, just in the scoring environment that we're in and
right.
the skill sets that all the players have, I mean, that is bad.
That's a rough day. Yeah, yes, that is absolutely, yeah. I mean, 11 games, I guess 11 games is a very small amount, you know, compared to the entire season. So that sounds about right to me. But yes, that is, you know, yeah, 20 years ago, that's no big deal. You don't reach 83 points. You know, you get 83 points, you're having a good night.
That's
the
2005 NBA Finals in a nutshell. I think right, every basically. Game was 83 yes. to yes. 78.
Yes, so. The glory days when they were men.
Yes.
When they were men who could not score.
Who took a lot of bad contested two-pointers and missed a lot of them. Yeah,
and the good old days. Slow. Yeah, the good old days when everybody played very slow. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, also Bam shattered the Miami Heat scoring record of 61 points, which was previously held by LeBron James. Also holds the franchise record for points in any single quarter, 31, and any half, 43. And, you know, Bam is certainly a very, very good NBA player. Three-time All-Star, one-time All-Defensive First Team. He's averaging this year 18.9 points per game. Career average of believe it, he upped it now. It's 16.1 points per game. But
yeah, before
way,
that, I think it was 15.8 before the game.
Yes, yeah. Right. So, yeah, heading into that, you know, he was, yeah, suddenly, yeah, we would have to say now that is probably either the most shocking high scoring game in NBA history or very, very close to the top. So I think that we're going to
we'll break it down later.
That.
Yeah, we'll break it down later because there's a couple of contenders, but I don't know. At the end of the podcast, maybe we can come to the conclusion: is this the most shocking one? I mean, in the moment, just like, you know, without doing any of the research, to me, when I got that text from you, I was like, no way. And then I watched the game, and I'm like, holy crap! Yeah. Bam Adebayo. I mean, there's and we talked about it even at the night of. Like, there's several players on the Heat that I would have said if you told me Tyler Hero, I would have said, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Tyler Hero got real hot from three and hit 10 threes in the first quarter or some crazy number or whatever. He's just chucking and they're going in and it's like, whatever, you know, and then he's kind of getting fouled here and there and he's making all of his shots because he's a pretty high efficient player. So I could buy that. You brought up Andrew Wiggins, and Andrew Wiggins is the one that, again, would be shocking, but feels somewhat more likely just because a guard, you feel like a guard in today, especially in today's NBA has a much better chance of getting to that 83 just by virtue of three pointers, getting fouled on a couple three pointers, making your free throws, that sort of stuff, you know, can get you up there. But as we saw with Bam, obviously free throws, you can do it pretty well with free throws as well. If you get a team that just doesn't know how to not foul you.
Doesn't know how to defend you and will foul you enough to get 43 free throw attempts. Yeah, it's, you know, it's going to be pretty good. Yeah, so I mean, you know, one obviously a notable thing here is that before this game, Bam had one 40-point game in his career, 41 points in 2021.
So he beat that in a half then because he had 43 at the half. So for the record, he beat his career high by halftime.
Right. And, you know, he'd had, I think, 31 games total of 30 or more points in his career, you know, which, again, very good number. But that he certainly is capable of scoring pretty high numbers. And yeah, again, if you had told me like he had 60 in the game, like, you know, I'd be surprised, but like, that's not unbelievable. I think just the extra thing of being like 83, it's like, you know, I mean, obviously 83 until then had never happened. So other than one time with Will Chamberlain. So that's an extra layer of, oh my God, I can't believe this guy did that. But even 60 would have been like, wow, that's pretty surprising. I didn't think he would be able to get up to that.
Yeah, yeah. Bam's a guy where, like, if you had told me he had 50, I'd have been like, wow, that's a hell of a game for Bam. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you know, 50s aren't really what, they don't mean as much as they used to, obviously, and we've seen a huge influx of it, and we'll talk about that towards the end of the show. But you're absolutely right. If you told me, hey, Bam's got 60, I'd probably tune into the game with the same vigor that I turned in on 80, because I'd be like, wow, that's really cool. Like, Bam Adebayo's got 60. Like, I want to see how that looks or how that happened. To say I was floored when I knew that he was approaching 80, because I think you texted me as he was getting his, like, I think you were like, oh, he might get 80. I forget exactly when. I think he had 75 or something like that.
Something like that, right,
And it's like, man, I just remember just being like, holy crap. But I think if you told me and texted me the same way and said, hey, Bam's almost got 60, I would be as equally surprised. So that's where, you know, this 83 just puts into a completely new stratosphere. Again, when we're talking about the second highest scoring game in NBA history, and it's Bam Adebayo, you know what I mean? It's just like, we're like a couple weeks removed from it now, and it's still, you know, just saying it and thinking about it, it's just, it blows my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, again, we're going to take a look at the players who have scored 60 or more points in the game. And I'll name them, and I want you to tell me when we get to a point of, really, that guy on the list?
Yeah.
Because, you know, yeah, you because how many guys on that list are you'd be like, yeah, there's no way that's going to happen. So
we've done series for people that want to go in the archives. We've done series on 50-point games, and there are tons of like really right. that guy 50-point games. Like Tony Delk sure. is a famous one, and right. and there's many more. Like he's one that I always yeah. think of right away. But there are several guys that have gotten 50 one time in their career, and it's like ah yeah, well you know that's fine. It happens. You get a hot night or whatever. 60? I don't know. We're gonna find out here. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So all the 60 plus games in NBA history. We're also including the ABA and the BAA here. So Will Chamberlain, 32 what? Times. I know.
First
I know.
One right out of the gate. Yeah. Really? Will? Right.
yeah. Yes.
What did he do? Oh, he did 32 times. Okay. Yeah. Maybe that's not so surprising then.
Yeah. Kobe Bryant, 6 times. Michael Jordan, might have heard of him, 5 times. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Damian Lillard, 5 times. Elgin Baylor, 4 times. James Harden, 4 times. Luka Doncic, 3 times, including just recently after, nine days after Bam did it in Miami. Devin Booker, twice. Steph Curry, twice. Carl Anthony Towns, twice. So is there everybody who's done it more than once?
Yeah, those are all fine for me. Towns is a guy who can fill it up. You know, you might right. not, you know, you might have some critiques about his overall game of right. Cat, but no doubt man could fill it up and score
yeah,
a lot of points.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
I mean, like, kind of minor surprise. Like, oh, yeah, that's, you know. Funny, like weird. Like, I kind of forgot about that, but like, yeah, he's a level player that's like, yeah, not particularly shocking. So next we have Joel Folks. Maybe people may not know him that well, but he's one of the great early scorers in BAA NBA history. We'll talk a little bit more about that.
And the pace at that time of the game too is like, yeah, it makes sense. So yeah, it might be surprising to somebody that's not
yeah.
super aware of NBA history, but to me, no, Folks is. Yeah. Definitely belongs
yeah.
there.
I mean, he famously, yeah, the first one. So George Mikan, again, different era, but not a huge surprise. Jerry West.
That makes sense.
Now we got Stu Johnson.
Okay. Yeah. yeah. I think we found the first yeah. Stu.
So we'll talk more about him. He did in the ABA, a little bit different context than some of the other guys. But next, Zelmo Beatty.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty fun comp to Bam, Zelmo Beatty there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was a very solid NBA player for a long time. He went to the ABA late in his career, helped Utah win a championship, was a very good player, but I think kind of similar quality player to Bam and also similar, you know, style of player, you know, big forward center, you know, good rebounder, that kind of thing. More of a solid guy than a spectacular guy, but we'll talk a little bit more about his scoring outputs as well, comparing him to Bam. But yeah, definitely a good comp. Next, we got Larry Miller.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, especially since I mostly think of him as an actor,
right?
In various movies, I had no idea that he dropped 60 in the in professional basketball ranks. So yeah. Good for him. Yeah,
doesn't
look
you.
Like a player.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. I don't.
Right?
You know.
No, you're surprised. Yeah, more athletic when he was younger, for sure.
So. I'm assuming, yeah, a little more hair. Yes.
Yeah, a little bit more. Yeah.
yeah. Maybe yeah. wasn't so white.
Maybe
he's less
maybe
white.
Not quite. Maybe not quite. Yeah. We got Rick Barry, Julius Erving, Pete Maravich, George Gervin, David Thompson.
Yeah, those all work.
Yeah. Larry Bird, Bernard King, and Tom Chambers. Maybe?
A little yeah, bit like a, yeah, yeah a little that's, bit. A, that's a little. He was a good shooter. Tom Chambers is a better shooter, though. So Tom Chambers is a guy who was like, yeah, if he was around today, I mean, man, yeah, things would. He would be right in line with what everything else.
I'm not entirely sure he was a better shooter, but he was definitely a more of a volume shooter. He's
yes,
a lot more.
Yeah, that's yeah, true. Yeah, yeah, true.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Karl Malone, as we've talked about. Yeah, David Robinson, Shaquille O'Neal, Tracy McGrady, Allen Iverson, Gilbert Arenas. I think maybe. I mean, I guess Gilbert's kept himself in the limelight because of, you know, podcasting and all that. So yeah. right. So people might, like, people who weren't, you know, fans then might still know who he is and have some idea that he was a great scorer, because he's a guy you could easily kind of forget about because his, you know, his shelf life wasn't great. But, you know, at his peak, he definitely was a very, you know, prolific scorer. So Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, Klay Thompson, Kemba Walker, Bradley Beal.
But same deal, like volume shooter, a lot of threes. Right. You could see and good at getting fouled and good at drawing fouls or whatever. So, yeah. You know, again, guy who now it seems kind of ridiculous in hindsight. But, yeah, back, especially the 21 Wizards where there's not much going on there.
Right.
Yeah,
the Wizards, there was just not much going on in the Wizards.
I was going to say. I'm sensing a trend about the Wizards here.
Yeah. Interesting. We got Jason Tatum. We got Kyrie Irving, Donovan Mitchell, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Jalen Brunson, Joel Embiid, De'Aaron Fox, and Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, none of those really. I mean, Fox, I guess a little bit, but he can fill it up pretty good. So no, I'm not really surprised about any of those last guys you mentioned. So I think by my count, just kind of jotting these down, the ones that I thought of: Stu Johnson, Zelmo Beatty, Larry Miller, who, by the way, was an actual player, not Larry Miller the actor, in case you guys are confused about that. I was joking. It is not the same person. I don't think so. I'm almost positive they're not the same person.
Yeah, it's not the same person. Yeah.
And then that's really it, I think. I think everybody else that we mentioned, I could definitely, if you told me they had scored, if you texted me and said, hey, blank has 60, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Kemba Walker. Yeah, of course, that makes sense. So, yeah, the only ones would be maybe ones where it's like the era that they played in, like Trace McGrady. Unfortunately, playing in the era that he played, it was so slow that it was like, but Tracy was a guy who, yeah, if you told me Tracy got hot one day and got to 60, I'd say, oh, yeah, I believe that for sure. So, I really only have those three, I think, and then adding Bam to that list. And Tom Chambers, I guess, would be a maybe for me as well.
Yeah. So if you want to look at like career points per game, peak points per game, peak season of points per game, and then their second most points in the game, I think that's an interesting look at it. So first looking at the career points per game, he is the second fewest. Larry Miller was at 13.6. Bam is at 16.2 at the moment. Stu Johnson, 16.3. Joe Folks at 16.4. Zelmo Beatty at 17.1. Tom Chambers at 18.1. Then Klay Thompson at 18.6. The other guys who were under 20 are J.R. Brunson, Kemba Walker, and Tracy McGrady. But yeah, the guys that we kind of talked about are, Larry Miller, Stu Johnson, Zelmo Beatty, Tom Chambers. Larry Miller, let's talk about the other pieces.
Yeah, and I will say real quick on Brunson and McGrady. I mean, those are two guys. Brunson, the early part of his career was spent not being a volume scorer, but he'll when it's all said and done, Brunson's career averages are going to be over 20. Yeah, I'd imagine.
I would guess it too. I mean, unless he has a long decline.
Right. If he has a Tracy McGrady like career, where Tracy obviously was probably up at, very high, and then had about, the last couple years of his career was basically just not even a role player, just like a really end of the bench kind of guy at a lot of teams. So he dropped his overall averages, but in their primes, if we're talking about Jalen Brunson in his prime, which we're watching right now, and Tracy McGrady in his prime, as we're watching right now, I mean, no doubt about it, those are guys that, are big time scorers and can fill it up pretty easily.
Right. So if you take out the ABA and BAA players, then Bam is, about 2 points per game behind Chambers for the lowest career points per game. And Chambers is another guy who had a long decline phase in his career.
Yeah.
Klay's a little bit lower than I would have expected. I mean, you kind of understand the reason, because there were a lot of guys who were scoring in Golden State for a lot of his career. So he was incredibly efficient and could have hot games, but he wasn't scoring at the same average because there was always Durant or Curry or both.
Right.
Ahead of him. So.
And I feel like there's a lot of games we were laughing about the 30 or the 29 minutes in the 60 point game that he had. I feel like, and I've been to game, I've been to a couple Warriors games, Warriors Bulls games or whatever, where Klay is, just on fire and he's got 33 by half and like the Warriors are up by 20 and he just doesn't come back out. He just kind of sits there. Yeah. I think there's probably, if you went through Klay's career, he feels like a guy who's got the most, like a lot of those games where it's just like, I'm good, man. You didn't even for the second half. And they're like, not really, we're good. so
it's kind of sort of what SGA is going through right now. Obviously SGA is the main guy in for OKC, but yeah, they have so many blowouts that he only plays three quarters and his scoring average may not be as high as it otherwise would be.
Obviously
it's incredibly high. So if you look at peak season points per game, Larry Miller is the lowest with 18.4. Bam has 20.4. Stu Johnson has 22.1. Klay has 22.3. Joe Folks has 23.6. Zelmo has 23.6. And the other guys next are Kemba Walker, Karl Anthony Towns, De'Aaron Fox with 26.6, and Tom Chambers with 27.2. So, I mean, again, most of these guys have like a, fairly high, over 20, to 22 points per game. Bam is definitely an outlier there. And again, if you take out the ABA guys, then he's still about 2 points behind Klay Thompson. And then if you look at the second most points per game for all of these scorers, Bam is at 41, as we talked about. Stu Johnson had a 45-point game. Larry Miller had a 47-point game. Joe Folks had a 47-point game. Zelmo had a 47-point game. It was also in the ABA. I believe his NBA high was 42, somewhere around there. I can't remember off the top of my head. But he had several 40-point games in the NBA. So he could, you know, and 30-point games. Again, I think fairly similar to Bam's totals in that regard. Mm-hmm. Donovan Mitchell had 48. De'Aaron Fox had 49. So the only guys... if you cut the ABA and BAA guys, only Bam, Donovan Mitchell, and De'Aaron Fox are the only players in a 60-point game who haven't otherwise scored 50. Mitchell and Fox certainly, I could see each of them having 50-point games again in their career. I'm less likely to think that Bam will do so.
Although I'm with you.
Obviously, he's capable of it. But it seems less likely than the other guys for sure.
Definitely. So let's dig into game results here, because I think this is kind of interesting. And this is one of the things that was talked about in the wake of Bam's 83 here, is that he was still in the game and the game was well in hand, that he'd had no possibility of losing to the Wizards. The Wizards were not going to come back. And the Heat left Bam in to chase the record, and they did some other things to kind of help him chase the record or whatever. And the Heat ended up winning the game by 21 points. And the idea was, oh, this is an unethical way to get to 80 points, and what they do. There was a lot of stuff. A lot of it was Kobe adults, unfortunately, that were getting very in their feelings about this, about and calling it a record, which I don't know if that made your blood boil as much as I did. Kobe does not have a record. The record is Wilt Chamberlain, who has 100 points.
Right.
And we've also started to do this thing, and I don't know when this started. There's people legitimately being like, I mean, we don't really know that Wilt scored 100. I mean, we don't have any. We don't have video of that game, but Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points. It's okay, folks.
Right.
Like it was started as kind of like a joke of like, haha, maybe he didn't because we don't have footage. Like, now has become reality, where I saw a lot of people being like, I mean, it's an unverifiable 100 points. And I'm like, what are we doing? Like, what? No, we all know that it's okay. But right. The Kobe stands, or I like to call them Kobe adults. I got very upset about what was going on here and started kind of a whole firestorm about what is, you know, ethical in terms of a high scoring game and what you should be doing to, and, you know, Eric Spoelstra had to answer comments about it or whatever. But the Heat ended up winning by 21 points. Wilt's 100 point game, the Philadelphia 76ers won by 22 points. So,
yes. Okay. And there was certainly a lot of, like in the Heat game, there was certainly a lot of, the Warriors did foul the Knicks with the intent of getting the ball back to give Wilt more chances of getting 100.
So and they were feeding Wilt the ball. I mean, you look at the box score, and it's like,
absolutely,
clearly the whole team was like, oh my God, just pass it to Wilt. He's going to get 100. Yeah. Which, foul guys, slow the game down. I mean, very clearly an intention to get this guy this record.
Yeah. Now, every, 70 plus point game has had some level of this. You know, some are obviously more ethical than others. And, and I'm putting ethical in quotes because I don't really.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's a stupid term. Yeah.
But yes, there are some that feel like I really enjoyed seeing Bam break the record. Obviously, I didn't necessarily love the last 2 minutes of that game when there were constant fouling and constant, and a couple of challenges. And, it was, it wasn't the best basketball I've ever seen. And there was a little bit of like, I don't love this part of it. But it was incredible to see him break the record. There's really no other way to do it. I didn't have any problem with it. There's no such thing as, ethical when it comes. I mean, I hate to side with somebody in the Miami Heat, but I actually thought Spoelstra had a really good take about it. It's like, there's nothing ethical here. There's all types of things that we do to kind of game the system and, to our advantage. And, they're all the unwritten rules are, pretty silly and pretty stupid. So, I will say that Kobe's Lakers, it was definitely a different context. They, for the vast majority of the game, they needed him to score a lot in order to be competitive and lead in that game. They were down in that game early. By the fourth quarter, it was a fairly close game.
Yeah, 91-85 right. Going into the fourth.
Yeah, exactly. And so, it was sort of a combination of, they needed him to score, but once he reached a certain point, he was just gunning it, as much as he can. But there was no, the Lakers weren't fouling the Raptors to get, Kobe a chance at, to get a higher total in that game. So, which I don't think it's morally better, but I do think there's a little bit more, pleasurable. I don't know. Aesthetically pleasing.
Yes.
I guess.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But yeah, I mean, if we look at the Kobe game as well, he shot 13 shots in the fourth quarter, which is not unreasonable for Kobe Bryant to shoot it, but nobody else on the Lakers was shooting. So it's very clear that they knew that this man was close to 81, which again, it makes sense. Like that Lakers team, you're probably going to give the ball to Kobe to shoot anyway.
Yeah.
But it's like Kobe, he was just putting shots up as quickly as possible and as much as possible, which again was a winning formula for the Lakers at that time. And only a few other Lakers shot the ball in the entire fourth quarter. Sasha Vujacic shot twice.
Oh,
Lamar Odom shot once. Devin George shot once. That's it. Every other shot that went up in that quarter was Kobe Bryant.
Right.
So you can call that ethical if you want, but I mean, it's clear what they're doing here as well. It looks different. And like you said, it's aesthetically a lot better than whatever the hell was going on with the Heat Wizards. But to pretend that like, oh, what? Kobe got 81. Oh, my God. He was just trying to win the game. It's like, it's pretty clear that when nobody else is shooting the ball for the Lakers and they're just feeding it to Kobe in the fourth quarter, they're doing what they're trying to do to get this guy as many points as he could possibly get, which is fine. And I have no problem with either. I have no problem with the way that Kobe got it. I have no problem with the way that Wilt got it, and I have no problem with the way that Bam got it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I totally agree with that.
So the Heat were up 113-97 going into the fourth, so that is kind of the big thing there. It's like, okay, well, you know, you didn't really have to. Did you really have to do this? And whatever.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Other blowouts. So wins of 20 or more with high scoring games. And like we said, there is something to be said for this because like Karl Malone, that one that we just mentioned, they won by 48 points, but we just pointed out that he probably didn't play the fourth quarter much at all. You look at his minutes total and it's like, okay, they were just continuing to beat the hell out of the Milwaukee Bucks, even without Karl Malone in the game. But I at least want to look at the other kind of blowouts because we add Bam to that and, you know, these high scoring games. Wilt Chamberlain, December 16th, 1967, he got a 60-plus point game in a 20-point win over the Chicago Bulls. He had 68 points in that game. He then, February 13th, 1962, this is a 20-point loss, and Wilt Chamberlain had 65 points. But again, I mean, if you're the Philadelphia Warriors in 1962, the only way that you can come back from a game is probably get Wilt Chamberlain as many points as possible. But I just find it funny, getting 65 and a loss and losing by 20.
And that was the season that he averaged 50 points per game. And, you know, so he scored 60, you know, number of times that season. And, I mean, that was their offense. And you know, for Kobe in 2006, that was, I mean, obviously the numbers weren't at the same scale. But, I mean, he was very much the focal point of their offense. So, you know, win big, or lose, you know, win or lose, that's going to be their strategy.
For sure. Elgin Baylor, he put 64 on the Celtics in a 21-point win, which, I mean, it's the Celtics, so.
Yeah, right.
I absolutely could see him being like, fuck them guys, I'm staying in. So.
Right.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Right. Rick Barry, 64 points and a 23-point win over the Portland Trail Blazers in March of 1974. Joel Folks, who we've talked about a lot, February 10th, 1949, 21-point win, his Warriors, he got 63 against the Indianapolis Jets. George Gervin, another guy, getting 60 and a loss, 63 points and a loss. April 9th, 1978, 21-point loss to the New Orleans Jazz, which,
Jazz. It's a long time ago.
If they could have rode that momentum, that wave of momentum, the Jazz could have been in good shape. But
couldn't happen. Yeah, of course, that's the same night that David Thompson scored 71 when they are competing for the scoring title. Yes.
Right. So there's a very clear, I forgot it was that night. Yes. So that's you want to talk about unethical? Go look at David Robinson getting 71 on the last day of the year and look at this George Gervin, David Thompson. Now that.
Right. Yes.
That's even more unethical to me than what they were doing. Although I don't think anything says, you know what? Get your points. Stop them. Right. You don't want him to score 83 points? Yeah. Stop him.
Stop him. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Wilt Chamberlain, 62 in a 20-point win over the Knicks. Kobe Bryant, 62 points in a 22-point win over the Dallas Mavericks. Carmelo Anthony, this is fun. January 2014, New York Knicks, he scored 62 in a 29-point win against the Charlotte Bobcats. I must have done it. I don't like to use AI, but I must have used AI for this one particular thing. These things are so fucked up. Charlotte Bobcats. Yeah, I imagine that's the Hornets.
Bobcats.
Yeah, like it's named after a guy or something like that. Or, you know,
right.
It's weird.
Yeah. That's weird. Yeah.
Strange. So anyway, an NBA team from Charlotte.
A lot of Bobcats in Charlotte, yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Gotta watch out for them. 29.1, I enjoy that a lot. A couple guys got 61 points here in big blowouts. Wilt Chamberlain, 22-point win over the Chicago Packers. That was in 1961 and 1960.
Packers.
Yeah, those the fighting Chicago Packers. Yep.
Now we know that one's true. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Obviously, there was a team called the Chicago Packers. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Packers. Yeah, makes sense. Wilt Chamberlain did it in 1962 as well. Like I said, that is his big year. So of course, the offense is just, well, what else are we supposed to do? We're just going to give it to Wilt.
Right.
Karl Malone, like you said, January 27, 1990, a 48-point win over the Milwaukee Bucks. So this one, I bolded immediately and was like, "Oh, come on, Karl, get out of the game, man!" But then I looked and he got out of the game. So the Bucks just couldn't stop the Jazz, I guess. So maybe Benoit Benjamin also had 55 in that game or something. David Benoit is who I'm thinking of, maybe.
Oh, sure. There we go.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who I think of the 1990 Utah Jazz that would, you know, fill out the scoring once Karl Malone sat on the bench. But
Was Thurl Bailey on that team?
He was. So this is so like nobody else scored that much. So I don't know what the hell happened here. Karl Malone had 61. Stockton had 10. Eaton had 2. Had 2.
Yeah.
Bob Hanson had 0. That was the starting lineup, by the way.
Okay, all right. That's a fun era.
Yeah, the bench guys did pretty well. Daryl Griffith had 19 points. Thurl Bailey, the aforementioned, had 12. Yeah. Okay. And Mike Brown had 15.
Yeah, not the same Mike Brown.
Brown.
He didn't play in the NBA, but a different Mike Brown. Yeah.
So this is weird. Yeah, they what a weird game. And the Bucks were like...
They were good.
Good that year. They're a good team. Yeah, I don't know.
Like 1990, that was all right. Yeah, they were.
What the hell happened? Yeah.
Yeah.
But there you go. So he got
48
tonight. But I do want to apologize. You got to apologize to Karl Malone, Jason.
definitely apologize to Karl Malone. That seems like a good idea.
You should do that right now in 2026. Apologize to Karl Malone.
Okay.
But, I will apologize to him for this particular thing and this thing only. He tried to get out of the game, it seems, and it just couldn't stop. But Shaquille O'Neal. Got a 60 plus in a win against the Clippers. I've seen that game and it's like the Lakers tried to stop, but it was the 2000 Clippers. And Shaq's just like, I have to just score on these guys. Like, what am I supposed to do?
I think part of it, Kareem was an assistant coach on that Clippers team. And I think Shaq had a beef with Kareem at the time. So that was part of it. Kareem probably said something that Shaq didn't like. And was that Shaq's birthday as well?
That was Shaq's birthday. Yep. On NBA Hardwood Classics. They play this game all the freaking time. And I don't know why, but I watch it a lot. And it's one of those games where they get it down to Shaq, and Shaq's like, and he's just like, I have to score. I have to. Like that, and the Clippers are so bad and just cannot defend. And it's, you can tell Shaq's got he's put a little extra sugar on it too. So I'm sure it's a little point at Kareem as it's going on as well.
Sure.
And then some 60-point games. Wilt Chamberlain, 1961, he scored 60 in a 21-point win over the Lakers. Tom Chambers, March 24th, 1990, 26-point win. For his Phoenix Suns there. Klay Thompson, we talked about this one, 36-point win, but I'm not going to bold that one because we know Klay got out of the game as quickly as possible, which a shame to all of us. James Harden, in a 47-point win, scores 60 points on November 30th, 2019. Should we dig into this one a little bit more?
He played I checked in that one. He played 30 minutes in that.
So that was that game. Okay, so that's that game. Yeah. So he tried to get out too, and those 2019 Atlanta Hawks, you just couldn't stop.
It wasn't a strong year for the Hawks. They got better pretty quickly, though. So thankfully,
they were in the conference finals 2 years later, right?
They were. Yeah. It was a delightful time for all of us.
That's going to be a great trivia question in like 15 years. Is like, who was in the Eastern Conference Finals in 20? I mean, the Atlanta. You'll never think. I don't know if I'll ever think of the Trae Young Atlanta Hawks.
You will. But
you're an Atlanta Hawks man.
Well, yes. All right.
Right now, as we're recording this, right damn now. March 22nd, 2026. By the way, I called you an idiot. I'm a Chicago Bulls fan, for God's sake.
Right, I was about to say, but I didn't feel the need to. Right. Yes. Right.
It's me.
So,
But right now, as we speak, and I'm going to assume that if we never record another show ever again, if this is the last Over and Back we ever do, the Atlanta Hawks, they cannot be defeated. They are the greatest team in the NBA as of right now.
Yeah, but that, well, actually, they lost to the Rockets on Friday. So, but it's okay. I mean, that one we're not going to count. So, yes.
What, nine and one in their last 10, right? I mean, that's, we'll take that.
Yeah. I mean, like 11 and one in the last 12. So, yeah,
there you go.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Extrapolate that. If you keep extrapolating that, like, that's really good.
That's really, really good. Yes. I think that's going to keep happening. Yeah. I sense that.
If these trends continue, the old disco stew, if these trends continue.
Hey, they're in the playoffs. So they're like literally in the playoff hunt right now. So they may actually make the real playoffs. They may not be a play-in team for like the eighth straight year. They might be, you know.
That must be fun to not be a play-in team. I don't know what that's
like. They might be real boys. Well, you guys aren't going to be a play-in team.
No, not this year. No.
Yeah. The last one, Kyrie Irving, yes. March 15th, 2022, the Nets against Kyrie Irving. Kind of forget all about that.
I always do. Yeah,
he played like 30 games there. But one of them was a 60-point game and a 42-point blowout. He played 35 minutes in this game.
Okay.
So, all right. So a little bit unethical, but not.
But it's Kyrie Irving, who is nothing but ethical. So.
Oh, absolutely. Kyrie Irving, most ethical player that I can think of.
When I hear the word, I just immediately think of Kyrie Irving. So
you think of ethics. Absolutely. Yeah.
So there you go. I think Karl Malone and Kyrie Irving.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Those are the two. Yeah. The two Ks, you know. All right. So, yeah. And these 60-point games, they just keep happening. You know, as you mentioned, we've done several shows on, you know, all-time 50-plus point games. It's been 3 years since we've done this. So we should probably maybe we'll do another one after this season wraps up to get more into the weeds and some of these trends. But, yeah, there have been 99 games with us. Total 99 games total with 60-plus points between the NBA, the ABA, and the BAA. But 42 of them have taken place since 2000. So that's about the, you know, NBA is 80-ish years old. So that's about, you know, a third of the league's history. You know, more almost half the games have happened since, you know, the last third of the league's history. 37 of these games have actually occurred since Kobe scored 81, which is 20 years ago. 31 of them have occurred since Kobe's 60 in his final game 10 years ago.
And that's wild. Yeah. That when I saw that, I was like, whew, 31 in the last 10 years is
now,
a lot.
27 of them have taken place since 2019. Oh. So that's seven years.
Yeah. Okay. Now we found the real, like, holy crap. Yeah.
Right. So, and then 11 of them have taken place in the last 3 years since we did the last highest scoring games episode at the end of the 2023 season. So yeah, they especially since 2019, you know, they've really upticked. I think we'll maybe we'll probably do another show on the 50-point games, catching up since 2023, looking more at trends, especially accelerating in the you know, recent seasons.
I mean, the best example of this is, like, since we've started doing the notes for this, like, Luka got 60. You know what I mean? Like, right. Not even that, like, since the BAM game. Like, we you know, since we started really saying, hey, we should do a show about the BAM game,
right.
9 days after the BAM game, Luka got 60. And it was kind of just like, oh, Luka got 60. And you know, it was just kind of like, it wasn't a thing. Like, a lot of people didn't stop to talk about it. It was just like, oh, yeah, Luka got 60. All right. And then we moved on.
Yeah. Which is I mean, 60-point games have definitely become less special than they once were, because a 60-point game was just kind of mind-blowing, and now they happen like three or four times a year, which is, I mean, they're still special, they're still it's still a lot of points, and it's, you know, again, 99 times it's happened, which, you know, is very, very small amount when you consider all the games that have happened in the history. But yes, they definitely aren't the, like, you know, they weren't quite a once in a lifetime or once in a generation experience, but they were definitely like more like a once in 5 years type of thing. And now, you know, there's a couple of every season or more every season.
Right. So I think 70 is the new 50. I think we all have to just count 70 point games as the true.
Right.
And even then, we've had, you know, Luka had 73 in 2024.
Yeah.
Joel on the 26th of January. And then 4 days before that, Joel had 70. It's like,
right.
Oh,
yeah. Ryan. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. And I mean, obviously, yeah, those have been a couple others that have happened since then, within the last decade or so, since then, you know, Devin Booker and all that. So, yeah. So, I mean, Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell. I mean, how many 70-point games have we had since? Mm-hmm. We've had several. We've had Luka, we've had Embiid, we've had Damian Lillard, we've had Donovan Mitchell. All four of those have. So we've had five 70-plus point games since the 2023 season. And yeah, before then we'd had, you know, 10 or so. So, I mean, we've almost doubled the amount that we've had, you know, in the last 3 years of 70 plus one games. So that's pretty crazy.
It is. Yeah. And I think that, yeah. I do think moving forward, we should start to kind of track that. Is 80, you know, a thing that we're going to see more of? Is, and I don't know.
That's 80's interesting.
Tough. 80 is, right. There's something just different about 80. And it feels like no matter what you do, to try to get to 80 feels like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
The circumstances have to be very, very right to get to 80.
Right. You know, it's weird because definitely it is easier to score in this era than it was 20 years ago with the pace and with, you know, changes in defenses and changes in offensive strategy and all the different reasons, more threes, et cetera. You know, you can score, you know, more points more easily than you could 20 years ago. But like, if you're taking it just in an individual game, how much easier is it to score so many points in an individual game, you know, than it was 20 years ago? Like, I think those are two sort of different things to me, if that makes sense.
Of course. Yeah. 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 It's interesting. It's interesting to think about.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that somebody has gotten to 80 and that so many guys, still obviously a relatively small number, but you know, 70 is an increasing thing, leads me to believe that we're going to likely see, you know, maybe some more 80 point games in the future. I mean, you know, like Luke is obviously a candidate for something like that. He's still young enough. He's still, you know, he just scored 60, obviously. You know, he could do it. I mean, there's a handful of guys. I mean, Giannis is still putting up some pretty incredible games. I mean, he's getting older, obviously, mm-hmm. but you know, that's not impossible. Wemby, you know, you know, SGA, if he ever plays four quarters, you know, I mean, there's, you know, even Jokic. I mean, there's still plenty of guys who have scored 60 and even 70 in fairly recent years. It's like, yeah, that's not that much more. But again, once you get to that point, I mean, we saw how hard it was for Bam in basically a perfect situation, even those last, you know, 2-3 quarters, you know, because the Wizards were definitely doing everything they could to stop him and, you know, took the heat, you know, intentionally fouling and getting more possessions and some luck for him to get to that point.
Yeah. And there's factors that both help it and maybe hurt the possibility of it that I was thinking off the top of my head was, one is to help it is the tenor of the league. And if half the league are teams that are trying to lose on purpose, like
right.
You have a situation where if a guy gets hot and he's against a team of absolute bums because half the guys right. are hurt and you've traded all your good players or whatever.
Are young and aren't good. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can get a situation where it's like, yeah, Luka in the right situation against a team of five guys that are crummy and are on a team that's trying to tank or whatever. Yeah. That's not implausible that would help him out. And that's, you know, we're seeing it in a way that the league has never tanked before. I mean, we had a right. show, 5 years ago or whatever at this point about like tanking's not a new thing in the NBA. It's been going on forever, but the amount of teams tanking now has definitely.
This is a pretty unique season in terms of there's like a third of the league that's tanked.
Yeah, right. By the All-Star break, a third of the league is like, we're out.
And, yes, and doing it very, very early in the season. I think that those things are much more rare than, you know, the more traditional idea of tanking.
So, right. So that helps it. But I do think what hurts the possibility of getting to 80 is how few guys want to play big minutes either, because it does require you playing most of the game. Like we've seen in this situation, a lot of the guys that had 60, you know, Klay Thompson could have said, hey, yeah, I'll go for 90. Why not? But when presented with the idea of, okay, well, you could just sit on the bench for the next half or whatever, like a lot of teams are going to opt for that too.
Yeah,
the Lakers, if they're winning by 30 and Luka's got 60, if they present Luka the option, hey, do you want to go out there and play? You know, and he might say, yeah, I do. But for the Lakers, does it make sense to have Luka chase that? Or does it make sense to have Luka, an off-injured player who's had, you know, many leg issues? Does it make sense for him just to say, hey, you know what, dude, just sit down. Like, you're good. And I feel like we see that more and more. You just talked about SGA. SGA could probably get 50 on the regular, but he doesn't play fourth quarters ever. Because why would you? They're up by 20.
So good. Right,
yeah, and we want to win a title, so there's no point and letting that guy stay in the game. So I think that has changed a lot more than in prior years. Like there was no chance that the Philadelphia Warriors in 1962 were going to say, hey, Wilt, you know, slap him on the ass and say, sit down, brother. You're good. We're up by 20. Like, you're good, man. Right. We're fine. Like, he played the whole damn game because that's just what you did.
Right.
So it's just that.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, and that makes sense. And also, like, you know, if Luka were at, I mean, again, scoring 50 points is not particularly that special for Luka Doncic. Scoring, you know, 60. I mean, he's done it so many times. He'll probably will do it again so many times that, like, you know, Bam Adebayo is never going to have a game like this again in his life. Like Luka might, like, and Luka has high scoring games, you know, like pretty regularly. So like there was an incentive for Bam to go for it because like it was never going to happen again for Bam. It might have something like in 83 is extreme, but somewhere around 60 or 70, Luka definitely probably will do again. So like, yeah, his team's probably not going to push him in the same way that, you know, Bam was pushed here. It's like, this is a once in a lifetime chance. It's either now or never, where Luka, you know, he's probably going to have several nights in his career where, you know, he can have, you know, be a candidate for 70 ish points.
That's a good point too. Yeah. And if you watch this Bam game, it's clear that everybody is in, they're like, oh yeah. My God, you, you know, like, right. Just like, and the whole premise, yeah, of this episode, they're like, holy shit, you, right, almost, you have 80 you points. Like, it, let's buddy, keep going. Yeah. So that's certainly, yeah, that's a huge factor that plays into it. It's like, oh my God, we've lucked into this thing. Like that right, is probably never going to happen again. So brother, if you want to stay out for another 20 minutes to try to chase this record, let's go for it, because you're probably never going to be here ever again.
Right. We're like, you know, somebody like Steph was going to be there again. Somebody like Kevin Durant, you know, is going to be, you know, the other guys who might have, you know, Clay, you know, when he had one of his guys, like, Clay obviously has proven he can score in bunches a bunch of times. So, you know, if it had been a close game in those circumstances, or there were other things that might have happened, maybe he would have stayed in there and tried to try to do it. So, yeah, you know, it's, again, it takes a huge weird thing of circumstances. And I do agree that I think the chances of having more of these type of, you know, 70-ish point games are definitely going to have, but yeah, 83 is obviously incredibly special. So hopefully 80 doesn't become routine, because that would be kind of a bummer. You know, hopefully I don't think that's going to be routine. I think that's still going to be, you know, incredibly rare, but I could definitely see, you know, it coming. I could see other players having a chance at that again, you know, especially with just the way the game is, which I, you know, I'm pretty positive on how the game is compared to how it was 20 years ago. But yeah, I don't want scoring to be so cheap that like 80 point games aren't incredibly special.
Oh, right. And you certainly don't want a situation too where, like, you know, we change the format of the game and we have 4-point plays or whatever. And I mean, which
I'm not interested in that either. Yeah. So no, I don't think it's going to happen. But
I don't either. I think that, you know, if you want to mess around with other parts of the game, but yeah, if you really, like, obviously for us, we care about NBA history, and that would really, really, really pain me if it was like, yeah, you know, fuck it, let's just, you know, change all these rules and 4-point plays and all this.
Right.
You know, then it's like, all right, now you're just lighting your record books on fire, because then I think these monumental scoring numbers would even increase more and more and more. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, that's a good show. It was fun to dive into that and do some stuff. Yeah, I think we'll definitely have to do another follow-up on 50-point games and some of the scoring trends.
When was our last game on our last show on 50-point games? Let's see. I mean, because
it was 2023. It was the end. It was like August of 2023, I think. So so we have 3 years to cover scoring games. Yeah, so a lot of 50, we only talked here about the 60 point scoring games, of course, but yeah, a lot of 50s as well. So a lot of players who are very high in those record books, and, you know, some interesting trends there as well. So yeah, those shows are always fun to put together. So we'll do something on that, maybe see if we can illuminate any other trends. I might even have to use AI to evaluate some data, because one thing that AI does do pretty well is evaluate some data sets and pull some interesting things out. So I might do that, but I don't do it, you know, I only use IA ethically. I'm just like Kobe. I only do it ethically.
Yeah, only ethically. Yeah. Unfortunately, you should check, though, if you do run these things through any AI, they do sometimes tell you that there's a team in Charlotte called the Bobcats. So just make sure.
Oh, okay.
You always have, and that's the thing that, yes, AI, they're very powerful tools, all this sort of stuff, but you always still need the humans to look at it, because
absolutely,
it makes mistakes like that all the time, and it claims that there was a team in Charlotte called the Bobcats. It's
hallucination.
Like, I don't know what's going on here. It's like, you know, the six hand, you know, people with six hand, you know, fingers on their hand, or I mean, that's
right,
it's not perfect. So yeah, sometimes it'll say that the Charlotte Bobcats were an NBA team, which is just absurd. Okay. So
all right, fair
so
enough.
Just make sure you double check, because it might
double
it
check
might,
yeah, absolutely
yeah. Just always give it the human touch if you can.
Okay. So. All right, fair enough. All right. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. Appreciate any ratings and reviews you want to give us. Good ones, really. We don't really want the bad ones.
No,
if you don't,
please,
if you don't like us, just ignore us. You know, that's fine. Yeah, thanks for listening. And you never know, we'll be back soon.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1,000,000%. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.